really warm welcome to the teaching ministry of New Life Church Crawley. We're a multicultural, intergenerational church. And we believe in the gospel of Christ. We believe in spreading his love through his word and through his works. We really hope that you enjoy what you hear today. We'd love for you to connect with us via the usual social media outlets, such as Facebook or on our website.
We're going to leave. Kerry has a great word for us this morning, and I don't want to take up any more of our time. So why don't you come? Why don't you welcome Kerry as she comes and brings God's word.
Thanks. Right, I might go home now, I think. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we just thank you so much that you're a God who sees. And Lord, we just felt your presence. And we just pray that as we look at your word, we think about how you want to challenge us this morning. And we pray that we will respond, and that we will respond in the way that you want us to. So we place this word into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. You change, the world changes. That's the message that David's given in the last 3 weeks. Really, really powerful words. Haven't you been so thankful that you are part of New Life in the last 3 weeks? Absolutely amazing words. And we learned that failure can be the start and not the end. And we've also learned that fear doesn't have to be our future and our definition. And we're going to carry on thinking about some of those beliefs that restrict us and that hold us back. And can I really encourage, we say this every week, but can I really encourage children, please listen. Please involve yourself. Do the activity packs. Because I strongly believe if you can take on the messages we're given now, when you grow up, your life, you will live in a freedom that some of us never even imagined. And God can use you in such a powerful way because you won't be restricted in the way that a lot of the children that are growing up not knowing these things are going to be. So please, children, listen and engage with what we're doing. So we're going to start with a Bible reading. Ian's going to come up and do a Bible reading for us. You're all right, Ian? You okay?
Yeah, I am, but I've got a stone in my shoe and it's really causing me a blister.
Okay. So, are you going to be all right?
Yeah, I'll be all right. No problem.
You soldier on.
I'll battle on. I'll crack on. Okay. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 25. Psalm 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
You all right?
It's really hurting.
Are you going to be okay?
I've got a blister there already, and it's really irritating me. But it doesn't matter. I'll try and shake it.
Okay, has it worked?
I might be all right now.
Cool. Go on then. Carry on.
Okay. Verse 3. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Oh, it's really hurting.
Are you all right?
I think it's causing me another blister.
Oh, no, that's not good. What are you going to do? So
I tell you what I'll do. I'll just try and... Just 1 second.
Okay. Oh,
it's really painful. I'll just try and move it out of the way.
Have you moved it?
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Cool.
Oh, sweating. Verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, you grant mercy and love, for there are from of old. Oh,
What's the matter now?
Well, I've moved it and I can still feel it. Perhaps I should put some thicker socks on and that might get rid of the problem.
Right, Ian, this is getting really, really silly. Why don't you just take your shoe off and take the stone out?
Oh, I didn't think about that. Hold on, one second.
Oh, bless.
Oh, thanks, Margaret. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. What you got?
This is the stone in my foot.
What's that picture on it? Next slide.
And it's got a little face on it.
Ah, what does the face show?
It's the face of shame.
Well, I'm glad you managed to remove it. Thanks for sort of doing the Bible reading, Ian. You can go and sit yourself down now.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. That's all right.
You're going to go and sit down now. Go and sit down. Okay. I don't quite know how to follow on from that. I morphed into Betty, the puppet there. Found myself, and because she gives Bertie a really hard time, she's quite bossy to Bertie, and I found myself being like that. I might need prayer because I really don't want to become like Betty. Okay, so over the next 2 weeks we are looking at the limiting belief that I believe can be the most debilitating. We're looking at shame. Shame goes directly against the profound peace and well-being that God wants for us. When he created the Garden of Eden, when he created us, he wanted us to live free from shame. And then Adam and Eve came. And when they messed up, one of the first emotions, one of the first feelings that they felt was shame. And shame has been holding people back ever since. There's a lady called Brené Brown. She's an American professor and she's a social worker. She has done so much research about shame and vulnerability. She is amazing. I would really recommend, if you want to listen to somebody that whose teaching could change your life, listen to her, because she bases everything on the fact that we need to be realistic about what's going on inside us. And she says that shame... Can we have the next slide? Shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of being loved or belonging. It's an epidemic in our culture and it's hampering our ability to live wholehearted lives. I would dare to even challenge that and say it's even more of an epidemic in our churches, because we have learned to push shame down. Because we sometimes feel that actually if we're feeling shame, it goes against who we are in God. And it does, but it doesn't mean we push it down and we ignore it. So what is shame? Shame's quite often put with guilt. Those of you that are my age will have grown up singing the song, "You took all our guilt and shame when you died and rose again." But actually, guilt and shame are very, very different. Brené Brown, again, has done lots of research into this, and we're going to watch a video that shows us what she says shame and guilt are.
Shame drives two big tapes: never good enough, and if you can talk it out of that one, who do you think you are? The thing to understand about shame is it's not guilt. Shame is a focus on self. Guilt is a focus on behavior. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I did something bad. There is a huge difference between shame and guilt. And here's what you need to know. Shame is highly, highly correlated with addiction, depression, violence, aggression, bullying, suicide, eating disorders. And here's what you even need to know more. Guilt, inversely correlated with those things. Empathy is the antidote to shame. If you put shame in a petri dish, it needs three things to grow exponentially: secrecy, silence, and judgment. If you put the same amount of shame in a petri dish and douse it with empathy, it can't survive. The two most powerful words when we're in struggle: me too.
guilt. Thank you. Guilt is I did something bad. Shame is I am bad. Guilt is important. Feeling guilt is actually important because it leads us to acceptance of what we've done wrong and therefore leads to repentance. And the remedy to guilt is taking it to the cross. We know that when we feel guilty, we can take it to God and he takes that guilt away. So what's the remedy to shame? Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to explore and reflect on different characters in the Bible who really suffered from shame. We're going to meet them. We're going to think about what caused their shame. We're going to think about what effect their shame had. And we're going to think about God's response. And we're going to learn that the remedy to shame is God's truth. Because when we feel shame, if we bring God's truth into it, it can't survive. So the remedy to shame is God's truth. We're going to look at a number of different people and we're going to look at what shame can do. So we're going to have a look and see that shame can be caused by our mistakes. Because sometimes if we don't deal with the guilt, it turns into shame. Shame can also be caused by circumstances, sometimes circumstances out of our control. Shame can also be caused by other people's actions and words. And shame also can be caused by where we come from, by our past. And shame can lead to isolation. Shame can lead to running away and hiding ourselves. Shame can also lead to bitterness and to anger. And shame also can lead to self-reliance and ultimately disobedience to God. So we're going to look at these characters and we're going to see where the shame comes from and we're going to see how we can deal with it. But like Ian with his stone in the shoe, what we're going to learn is that we have a choice. We have a choice to get rid of that shame. And that's what we're going to learn about today. So first of all, the root of our shame can be our mistakes. The root of our shame can be our mistakes. And we're going to get the activity packs given out now. Thanks, Linda, if you can grab somebody to help you. And the activity packs, children, have got stuff in about the characters that we're learning about. And we've also got some pictures and some crayons up here if you want to colour those in as well. So you can start your activity packs. So the root of our shame can be our mistakes. And we're going to meet a lady now who knows all too well that she has messed up. But she's let those mistakes turn to shame. The Bible story that we're going to look at can be found in John 4. So if you want to read along, you can. But we're going to watch a video now that sums up John 4. Children, you can watch this as well while you're sorting out your packs.
There once was a woman who was from a land called Samaria. The woman had no friends, and she was not liked by anyone in her town because of the many mistakes she had made. One day, the woman was at a well, drawing water at the hottest part of the day, hoping that she'd not see anyone. But there was someone there, a man who asked her for a drink. The woman was surprised that this man would talk to her at all. But the man kept talking to the woman, and she discovered that he knew everything about her life and all the mistakes she had made. She looked at the man and said, "Sir, you must be a prophet. I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then the man said, "I am the Messiah." The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to her village to tell everyone that the Messiah had come. This man, you see, was Jesus. All the villagers came out to see Jesus, and many believed in him, including the woman at the well.
So this lady that we've just met, she's been married 5 times. And she's now living with a man that isn't her husband. There could be a number of reasons for this before we judge. There could be a number of reasons for this. We don't know. But whatever the reasons are, she now feels shame. She's given up on the idea of marriage. She's realized it doesn't work for her. Or maybe the decision was made for her. But she knows she is living in a way that doesn't sit right with her. And so she starts to feel shame. And we know that she feels shame because she isolated herself away. It tells us in the reading that she went to the well at midday. You wouldn't go to the well at midday because it's so hot. And so she deliberately made the decision to go when nobody else was there. I want you to picture this lady. She's at home and she's looking out of her door. And she sees early in the morning all the other women going to the well together, laughing, encouraging, part of a community. And she's watching from afar. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever stood there and felt that everybody else belongs, but you don't? Shame can do that to us. And as she watched, she would have realized that she didn't fit in. How many times do we withdraw ourselves? Sometimes it's not even physically. How many times have you been in a room surrounded by people, but you feel you don't belong? And part of that is because we put the barriers up and we say, you are not getting to know me. Because if you get to know me, you will reject me. If you knew what I was really, really like, you wouldn't want to know me. And so this woman is at home and she sees all the people go and come back. And then she picks up her water pot and she goes down to the well, making sure she doesn't give any eye contact to anybody in case she gets rejected. And she gets to the well and she wants to be on her own and get the water and go home. But she meets Jesus. We need to realize what an amazing story this is. We need to see how much of God's grace is in this story. Because actually, Samaritans and Jews hated each other. They did not mix. And so when the woman got there and Jesus actually gave her some attention, that would have blown her away before he even said anything. Because Jews did not speak to Samaritans. They despised them, and she was used to being despised. There was also the fact that she was a woman and he was a man. He was also a rabbi. And so there was no way that he should be talking to her. But Jesus did the no ways. He broke through all those rules that made some people acceptable and some people not. And he met that woman and spoke to her. Can you imagine what that did to her heart? This woman that felt so much shame, this man spoke to her and asked her to get him some water. It just blows me away that Jesus would break down all those barriers. So they had this conversation. And if you haven't read this conversation, read it. Because it actually makes me smile. The way that Jesus weaves in all these little questions to eventually reveal who he is and what he can do for her. But also the way that you see with her questions, that at the beginning she doesn't get it. And slowly, slowly, she realizes who Jesus is and what he can do for her. Next slide, please. And then we see what she says. She says, he tells her that he can give her water that will make her never thirsty again. Isn't her response interesting? Because her initial response is, please, sir, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. She is trying to escape her shame, but in the wrong way. because she's not realizing that if she drinks that water that Jesus gives her, she doesn't have to feel the shame, and she then can mix with people. But as the conversation goes on, she gradually gets it, and she understands who he is. I love the end of this story, and there's two things that just make me smile. The first thing is, after she's met with Jesus and spoken to him, she runs off and she leaves behind the water jar. The very thing that she went to get from the well doesn't matter anymore. Her focus has changed. Doesn't a true encounter with Jesus do that to us? That actually those things that we hold as important, those things that are our priority, suddenly don't matter. And then the second thing that just warms my heart so much, this poor woman who isolated herself, was so full of shame that she didn't want to mix with anybody, she met Jesus, and suddenly she wanted to mix with everybody. She suddenly wanted to go and tell everybody what Jesus had done. She wasn't isolated anymore. Why wasn't she isolated? Verse 29 in John 4, come and see a man who told me everything I did. Yes, she realized Jesus was a prophet. She realized he was a very special man, but more than that, her shame had been brought into the light. He had told her, I see, I know, and yet I still accept you. And because that shame was now in the light, she didn't have to isolate herself anymore. She could hold her head up high. She could look people in the eye, and she could move into the new life that he had planned for her. Isn't that just an amazing story? The root of shame can be our mistakes, but the root of shame also can be our circumstances. We're going to meet another lady now, and this lady is also carrying a huge amount of shame. And Erica's going to read to us from the Bible, and she's going to read Mark 5, 24 to 30. Can we have the next slide? Thank you.
A woman in the crowd saw... Sorry. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she didn't get any better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe?
Wow, doesn't your heart go out to this woman? She'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Just to even think about the physical effect that that would have had on her body. But as well as the physical turmoil in her life, she was seen as ceremonially unclean and unfit for religious life. We know that this woman had faith. We can see that later in the story by the way that she reacts. But she wouldn't have been allowed to go into the temple. Can you imagine that? Not being able to go and worship God through no fault of your own. She was an outcast. She couldn't fulfill her religious duties. But also, anyone that she touched was also considered unclean. Loneliness and isolation must have been all that she felt. And she tried every single medical route possible, but nothing worked. And she was filled with shame due to her circumstances, which were out of her control. And then she heard about Jesus, and she decided to go. Again, let's not underestimate the courage and determination that that took for her to go. What does shame do to us? Shame makes us want to hide away. Shame makes us want to stay in. Sometimes we need to learn from this lady. We need to just get up, push through, go through the crowd, and find our healing, which is what she did. And I love this verse in the Bible. Go back, please. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. If I can just. How many if I can justs do we do? When we're filled with shame, when we're filled with regret, if I could just get that job, if I could just work harder, if I could just lose some weight, if I could just tidy my house, if I could just get my children to behave, if I could just be more like that person over there. Her if I could just was spot on, because she knew that she needed to meet with Jesus. And she did. Again, can you imagine what was going through her head when she touched his robe? She risked everything. She risked the scorn of the crowd. She risked even anger. People could have turned on her. She wasn't meant to be out on the streets. And yet that didn't happen. Let's have a look what actually happened.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it.
But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment.
And I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased. No one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter.
Isn't that amazing? Daughter, look up. Son, look up. And I'm going to take a risk here, because I need to share something that I felt God was saying as we were preparing for today. Because I think there are some people here today whose circumstances are now causing them shame. And it's not circumstances that they've chosen or that they've done. And I actually feel that there are some people, because they haven't fitted in to the mold of what people say is normal, they have suffered huge hurt. And I actually feel that some people have suffered that hurt in church. Because churches are very good, I'm not talking about this church, but churches overall are very good of having a picture of what normal is. And quite often, if you don't fit into the mold of having been married with 2.4 children, a picket fence and a well-behaved dog, you don't fit into church. And if anybody has gone to a church and has felt rejected, or has had words said over them that has made them suffer, I really feel that God wants me to say from here today, I apologize on behalf of that church. Because nobody should be led to feel shame because of their circumstances. And I really, really felt God was saying to us as a church, we are a multicultural church, we're a multi-generational church, but we're also a multi-circumstance church. And if you are single, if you haven't got children, you belong with us. And we really hope that you know that. And what we need to do is to make sure we do community well. Because I said at the beginning, I really feel that the remedy to shame is God's truth. But I also feel the remedy to shame is God's community. Because God brings us together. And when we're honest, things can't turn into shame. Particularly about disappointments. So those of you that through your life, maybe your life hasn't gone how you thought it was going to go. And maybe you are feeling disappointment. Don't let that turn to shame. It's all right to admit that you are disappointed with God. It's all right to admit that you are disappointed with other people. Because when you admit it, it can be prayed through. It can be brought into the light. And it doesn't turn to shame. Daughter, look up. Son, look up. If you needed to hear that today, please don't go home without asking somebody to pray with you, because you matter. So the root of our shame can be mistakes, it can be circumstances, but it can also be the actions of others. And I need to say here, men, don't feel left out. We're meeting three women today, but I know very well that men can also be completely engulfed by shame. And we're going to learn next week about a man in the Bible that was. But we're going to meet our third lady. And this story just moves me so much. And I actually could talk about this all day. But don't panic. I know you need to get home. But this story just warms my heart. I love this story. In Genesis 15, Abraham and Sarah were promised lots of descendants by God. But 10 years have passed and that promise still hasn't happened. Sarah was suffering from shame. She felt shame because she couldn't have children. But I think she also felt shame for another reason. That circumstance was beyond her control. And I do want to say that feeling sadness and feeling grief isn't wrong. That's not shame. It is right if you are disappointed and hurt that you can feel sad and disappointment. But that sadness and disappointment turns to shame when we become embarrassed by our circumstances. And that's what Sarah had done. She felt shame because she hadn't had the children. But I also think there's something else that's causing Sarah's shame. Look at what she says. Need to move on quite a few slides. The Lord has prevented me from having children. Isn't that strong language? The Lord has prevented me. She really felt that God was stopping her. And let's think about what the promise had been. The promise had been that you were going to have children. 10 years had passed and it hadn't. And so I actually think her shame was also connected to her disappointment in God. And that disappointment turned to shame. Can you imagine the people around her muttering? Maybe they're not the leaders that they think that they were, because God hasn't answered their prayers. Maybe they're doing something really, really wrong. That's why he hasn't answered their prayers. And Sarah had to put up with all of this. So she decided to take matters into her own hands. Now, I'm going to cut through a little bit here because we're really, really short of time. But I do need to just meet Hagar. Because what Sarah did was she decided that she will give Abraham a child, but not through her. And so she gave Abraham her servant. and Hagar became pregnant. And things went horribly wrong between Sarah and Hagar. And we meet Hagar in the desert, and she's wandering in the desert, and she's all alone. But like the other two ladies, God meets her. He meets her through an angel, and he changes her outlook. He asks her two questions and then reassures her. But a wonderful, really wonderful detail of this account is that Hagar renames the well where she was to Beer-lahai, which means well of the living one who sees me. He sees me. Again, God saw her shame and he brought it into the light. And I think the two questions that she is asked are so important. Where have you come from and where are you going? The angel knew the answer because the angel knew her name. But he wanted her to think about those questions. And actually, if we are carrying shame, those two questions are difficult to answer. Because shame causes embarrassment. It causes an uncomfortable feeling when we're talking about the source of that shame. And shame also takes away hope. It makes us think that the future is never going to be any different to how it is now. And so we make decisions based on that. And often they're the wrong decisions. Where does the angel tell Hagar to go? He tells her to go back to the source of her shame. Isn't that really interesting? The last place that she wants to go is to go back to the place that had caused her shame. God's saying something to us in that. Because that happens a number of times in the Bible. I think Moses is sent back to the source of his shame. I think Naomi is sent back to the source of her shame. And a number of other people are. Because until we go back to the source of our shame and deal with it, we won't be free. And I know how hard that is. And I know how hard that is because I've had to do it. And I'm going to be really, really honest and vulnerable here this morning. I have sat through services like this, feeling the deepest shame possible. And I sat there and I've heard God say to me, you need to deal with this. We can do this together. And a number of times I've gone through the service. Sometimes I've even prayed with other people at the end and I've gone home because I didn't want to go back to the source of the shame because it was too painful and it was too hard. When we go back to the source of that shame, however hard it is, when we really surrender it to God, that's when we get free from shame. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is the only way to get free. I know that. And I promise you, it's worth the work that you need to put in. Three women, three different experiences of shame. They all met God who brought their shame into the light. They were all set free. I wonder where in our lives we need to meet God. What do we need to be brought into the light in order to live a life of freedom? It could be that our circumstances have caused us shame. It could be that our mistakes have caused us shame. And we need to look God in the eye. He knows anyway. We need to look him in the eye and say sorry and move forward. It could be that other people have caused us shame. Whatever God is saying to you today, don't go home without dealing with it. God does heal, and he can heal like that. But the thing is, it takes work afterwards. It's a bit like a physical injury. If you've hurt yourself, even when you're healed of it, that is likely to always be a weakness. And there will be times when you overdo things, when you really feel that niggle again. That's the same with shame. God does want to heal us. He wants to meet us. But then the renewing of our minds has to happen. And we can help you with that. So I'm going to play a song now, and I'd love you to listen to the words. The words really mean a lot to me, because I think they sum up how we work through shame. It talks about God and it says, I found you in the middle of my mess. You have been there all along. He is there with you in your shame. Open arms and open heart. You called me in. You didn't hesitate. And the lies that I once believed, they crumble at the weight of your truth. And the fear that gripped my heart is arrested so that I can see you. And then this bit is really, really important. When I only see you in part, I will prophesy your promise. Because there are times we can't see what God's doing. There may have been promises that have been said over our lives, and we're saying, when is this going to come true? And we're turning that into shame. Don't. We put God in a box sometimes, and we expect him to answer our prayers in the way that we see. His picture is so much bigger. And so we need to say promises over our lives. We need to say Bible verses over our lives. And then the last bit, and David's going to laugh at this, because you finish what you start, I will trust in the process. Because the biggest thing that I think I've learned since I've come to New Life is that process is not a word to shy away from. Those of you that remember when I first came here, I hated that word. Because I wanted God to just fix everything like that. It is a process. And we have to trust him in the process that he is going to finish what he starts. So we're going to play the song now. And I just pray that those of you that have been touched today, those of you that know that you are carrying shame, that you know that there's hope to be free from it. And that you take the first step today. So God bless you, and please listen to this song and think about how God wants you to respond.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you enjoyed the teaching. We'd love to hear from you, so please contact us. All the details can be found on our website. God bless.